Now, back to a couple of guys who thought Lassie could never really do any of that stuff anyway, and that Timmy was the brains of the operation. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we've got with us as a returning guest in the studio, Mike Morgan, the owner of Mid-Michigan Kennels. Welcome back to the show, Mike. We've missed you.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Oh, it's good to have you. Mike, the reason we wanted to have you on is because last week, Rick and I got to interview an author from California who has a book called The Lipstick and the Leash. Or did I get that right?
No, I think you did get it right this time.
Okay. I've had difficulty getting the order right, but basically it was about dog training geared for women. And as Rick and I were talking about, if we had to do dog training geared for men, I've got to tell you, you were right at the top of our list. So we wanted to have you come in and basically talk a little bit about dog training. But before we get into that, I'd like to talk about the other thing you do, which is police dog training. Can you help explain to our listeners exactly what you do in terms of training police dogs?
We train dogs for law enforcement and military contractors. And by that, I mean dogs going to foreign service work. A lot of foreign theaters of operation for the military are now slowly being phased back. And what's happening to fill that vacuum or void is you got contractors going in there and taking on the role of the military working dog and drug and IED and bomb detection and things like that. So we're training dogs for both the law enforcement community, and we're putting out dogs that are being trained specialized for those contractors going into Afghanistan, Iraq, Africa, and theaters along that operation. Lines.
How does one get involved in that? I imagine there's a number of dog trainers out there, but how do you get connected with that? Is it just by reputation? How does that work?
It is. You know, it's like any business. You live and die by your reputation. Customer service is always key. You got to put out a good quality product, good service with that product, and then, of course, do your marketing. So we've done some marketing. The only publication that we're currently advertising in right now is a magazine called The Counterterrorist, and that goes right to that end user and the people making the decisions on where to buy those products. So that's kind of where we put our money right now as far as marketing goes, is in that magazine.
And when they call up and they want to find you as the dog trainer, is there a series of questions they ask, or is there something they're looking for in you that specifically calls you out? And how many dogs do you tend to train in a given year? Is this popular for you? I mean, is this a part of your overall way of, you know, making a business?
At the front end of that question, I think most of these people have done their homework before they even ring our phone. They've found us on the internet or in the Counterterrorist magazine, and then they've done some homework or some legwork before we ever hear from them. They've made some phone calls around, and they check, of course, your Dun's and Bradstreet and all the other business end of what you do as far as how you run your business, and then they've called around and talked to people. So once they've rung our phone, I think they've done a lot of the homework already, and now they're looking for some very specific information to hit the certain points of what they specifically want. And then the answer to the second part of that question was, it's gotten to the point now where that's really all that we're doing now is the police dog training and the military or the contractor type training. We're not running the obedience classes and the agility classes this year just because I'm that busy with those other, and it's a shame because I miss a lot of my friends and extended family out there in the pet industry world that we've made over the years.
Yeah, I've had a customer in just the other day and wanted to send him your way just because it just seemed like that perfect profile of the type of dog he had. I believe in his case, it was a mixed German Shepherd, and he just wanted dog obedience place to go, but he was also looking to, understand it from a guarding perspective, something that would at least help him feel a little safer in his home environment without going out overboard. And that's unfortunate to know, but there's probably some good places that one can take them.
And that's exactly right. I mean, I spend a lot of time on the phone because I still, you know, I've had old clients coming back or they've had this problem or that problem come up with a new dog, and I spend a lot of time on the phone helping them with, you know, some things they can be doing. And then I've got a facility that I've done some referencing to that I think she does a really good job.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're more than happy to give a referral and then also answer any questions. I mean, we still do that. We'll still do that on the phone.
How many police dogs come through your place in a year typically?
For the law enforcement community, we're doing about 30.
Wow.
So, yeah, and that's
is that
four
at
classes.
One time, or are they typically scattered throughout the year?
We run four classes. Okay. We run an early, late winter, early spring. We run a spring class, which just graduated here a week or so ago on the 21st, I think, of June it graduated. And then we'll run an early fall class in September, and we'll run a late fall class late October.
Now, is it labor intensive?
It, very much so. I mean, because before the departments, when a department buys a dog, for example, let's say Department A wants a German Shepherd. They want it to be a dual-purpose narcotics dog. And a dual-purpose narcotics dog is a dog that does both the narcotics detection, sniffing portion of his work, and then he also does the patrol aspects, which is the tracking of missing people or, mm-hmm. you know, suspects of crimes that have fled the scene. They do the building searches for anybody that's broken in and hiding in that building, open area searches for missing children or people or criminals that are trying to hide or evade arrest. So we do, when we do the dual-purpose narcotics or dual-purpose explosives dog, and that's a bomb dog that does the patrol stuff. We never teach a bomb dog to do drugs or drug dog to do bombs. Never, ever do that.
Right.
So when we teach the dual-purpose dogs, we've got about 6 weeks to 2 months worth of work that we put into the dog. When I say we, I put into the dog prior to the department even getting it. And then their officer shows up and he's in school, he or she are in school for 5 weeks.
And then, so because it takes more effort into that, it's not a jack of all trades, master of none. They actually have to master each of those two disciplines as a dog goes.
Absolutely. And, you know, some agencies are old school, we call old school, which means they have simply narcotics dogs and then they have simply patrol dogs. They never do the dual purpose cross training. But with revenue sharings being cut and mm-hmm. budgets being what they are in most communities, if you can get one dog that does both mm-hmm. and pay one handler and give him training time or her training time to do all of it, then that's what they do. That's what they're doing now. And I sell very few single purpose dogs.
Very interesting.
Yeah, Mike, I've got a question. How do you teach a dog? I'm thinking about whether it's the bomb sniffing or the drug sniffing. They've got to focus in on the substance that they're trying to find, but sometimes there are other substances that appeal to dogs, like food and other things like that. How do you teach the discipline to the animals that I don't care about that box of biscuits that's out there? I only care about finding the marijuana or the heroin or whatever it is that you've got the dog searching for. How does that work exactly from a training standpoint?
The selection process for the dogs, we're looking for that dog that is just crazy cuckoo for a ball or a Kong. Everybody's seen a dog at some point that just obsesses over a toy. I mean, to the point where when they get up, they pick it up, they take it with them, they drop it in their food dish, they eat their dinner, they pick it back up, they carry it around with them. I mean, it's always with them. Hmm. And it's the same thing I look for in these dogs is that just intense ball drive. I want it to be a ball. It's real hard to sell a police department in a 6 foot to manly man police officer a dog that's got a pink rabbit that squeaks for his toy. So we specifically want to get the tennis ball or the Kong. It just kind of goes over a lot better when they come to pick up their dog and I hand them two tennis balls or a Kong and this is your dog's reward. So
there you go.
As opposed to the squeaky rabbit. So but once we get that dog that just wants that toy more than most anything else in life, then it's just a matter of isolating the target odor. So, for example, if it's a narcotics dog, typically it's going to be marijuana, cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, and cocaine. I don't know if I said that or not, but
well,
there's basically four odors, and then some departments want ecstasy added back in there as well. But we put those four odors in the box, and then we just teach the dog, when you stick your nose in this hole, and you smell these four target odors, and you respond, whether it be an aggressive response, which is scratching at the box, or just simply smelling and then sitting, which is where everything's heading these days. Everybody's going with passive responding dogs. You get your ball. So if you smell this and you do this, I'll give you this. It's just a very simple stimulus, response, reward. And it's the foundation for all dog training anyways. I say the word sit. That's a stimulus. You give me the response, you get rewarded.
It's fascinating because what most people don't think about is that a court needs that proof in the dog in order to prosecute people. So it's fascinating. Well, Rick, let's take a break. And Mike, after the break, I'd like to come in and share information like that. How can people get control over their dogs to the degree to which that it's man walking dog, not dog walking man? Right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Dog Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link. Got some ideas, questions, suggestions? Email us at mmpets@1320WILS.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mmpets. Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/mmpets. You can upload your own pictures and interact with other pet enthusiasts.
Two Eddie cows calling them canine. Hey!
Oh,
but they tell me, hey, man, it's popped up, they popped it.